Yeah, he was third in Nevada behind Gingrich and Romney. Ron Paul got five delegates for his trouble in Nevada, and he has been going around in these states in Iowa, New Hampshire, Florida, Nevada, now on to Colorado and Minnesota to gather up delegates. But people seem to agree that it's just a metaphysical fact that he's not going to be the GOP nominee. So why is he really doing all this? Some very interesting reporting on this by the Dallas Morning News' Washington Bureau Chief Todd Gilman, who joins me now live. And Todd, one of the aides to Ron Paul said something very interesting to you.
He did. Ron Paul's national campaign chairman told me last week in Las Vegas that we're talking, as you're saying, what exactly is the end game here if mathematically it's unlikely, if not impossible, for Ron Paul to secure the nomination.
Yeah.
He could block Romney, which gives him some leverage, and what does that leverage translate into? And one of the things that the campaign chairman said is, well, maybe whoever gets the nomination ought to look at Rand Paul, the senator from Kentucky, the son of Ron Paul, for running mate. Now, he didn't say overtly this ought to be on the table, you know, we're going to use this leverage as a negotiating chip to get Rand on the ticket.
Yeah.
But in the context of the conversation of what does this leverage translate into, I didn't raise it. He raised it.
So right. That's he said, what are we doing here? And that's what comes up.
Right. I mean, there's no. He did dismiss. It's very interesting that the idea of Ron Paul himself on the ticket or even in the cabinet.
Mm-hmm.
One of the interesting lines of argument is, well, you know, Ron Paul is so strict about what's constitutional and what's not that probably he'd have to resign the first day on the job after the cabinet did something unconstitutional, and that just wouldn't be good for anybody.
It doesn't work out, does it? So his son is you know, also a libertarian firebrand. He's been sort of a Tea Party hero ever since he entered the political scene himself, you know, to some extent in the shadow of his father. But he's also really made a name in certain circles.
He has. Rand is really much more of a Tea Party kind of guy. I mean, there's clear overlap, an enormous amount of overlap between Ron and Rand politically. But Rand has emerged from his dad's shadow. First of all, senator has a profile that is different from a congressman.
Yeah.
But also, Ron Paul really, in a lot of ways, is the godfather of the Tea Party movement. And that movement has sort of moved on from him in some ways. The libertarian base and the movement that he's pushing, the gold standard stuff, is not maybe as central to the Tea Party movement as it is to the Ron Paul movement. So there's an interesting dynamic there, but clearly there is a semi-dynastic kind of aspiration going on in the Paul family.
Does there seem to be a decent strategy there if you have a nominee in Mitt Romney who a lot of quote-unquote conservatives, you know, self-identified conservatives, are skeptical of the former Massachusetts governor for a host of reasons, including his universal health care, his position, his changing positions on the Second Amendment, on abortion, and a whole bunch of other things, which Governor Perry and others tried to capitalize on, and so far they haven't been able to do that. But is there a decent strategy there in saying, okay, you're going to have a mainstream Republican nominee, and you would have somebody who is further to the right as the VP, somebody to appeal to those folks who he needs to get excited about him if he's going to win, if he's going to beat President Obama?
Well, yes, and that would be a pretty traditional kind of ticket balancing if Romney ends up with the nomination, to pick somebody who could appeal more directly and viscerally to those on the right. I don't think that Rand Paul would be that person. By the way, and we are talking about the kind of leverage that Ron Paul might bring to the table, but mm-hmm. it would more likely be someone maybe even like Rick Santorum as an example, but it could be any number of people. Chris Christie, Marco Rubio, these are all people very high up on the list. Governor Sandoval in Nevada hits a couple of check marks that would be very helpful to, you know, Westerner. He's Hispanic. He's also well regarded by the Tea Party.
Yeah.
So there are a lot of options for Romney. As far as leverage, what we're really talking about is the most leverage you have is if it's a brokered convention. Very unlikely scenario, but if Romney can't get through the 50 states and get the critical mass, the majority of the delegates that he needs, then he really needs to have a coalition put together. And that's when bargaining really, really begins in earnest.
Well, we'll see what happens. You know, in the media, sometimes we're fight promoters. We'll see how it all goes down. All right, that's Todd Gilman. He is the Washington Bureau Chief for the Dallas Morning News. Thanks so much.
Sure, thanks, Scott.